Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Well, hello again, and welcome to my cooking show. I have a very special guest today. His culinary skills are legendary throughout the NFL. My very special guest, Coach Bill Belichick of the Cleveland Browns. Bill, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, Mike.
Oh, thank you. And I know we have a very special recipe today, one you've held in secret for many years, but you're going to share it with us today.
Right, it's the BBPBJ.
BBPBJ, what is that?
Bill Belichick's peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I see we have all the ingredients here for you, so I'm just going to stand back. You're the master of this. Let you go and follow you as you make the sandwich.
Well, we'll start with the raisin bread.
Why raisin bread, Bill?
Well, my mother used raisin bread.
Oh, mothers are divine, aren't they?
Oh, they sure are.
They're just the best.
She made the best one.
Oh, and chunky peanut butter. That's quite a risk because, you know, the shards of peanuts can tear the flesh of the bread.
Well, it has a little more crunch to it, and that really gives you a little extra energy. But the key to it, Mike, is to spread peanut butter on both sides of the bread.
Oh, why?
So that the jelly doesn't leak through in the sandwich. We'll put the jelly right here in the middle.
That's why you're the head coach. It's forward thinking like that. It's just, I've never seen that.
So right, this jelly won't leak through because of the peanut butter on both sides of the bread.
Wonderful. Now you're going to cut it, I assume. You'll cut diagonal or
something? No, actually, I like to cut out the leaves of the dog bone.
Oh, that's wonderful. Man.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much for coming in. And maybe sometime you can bring us your recipe for that famous ham and cheese I've heard so much about.
Sure, I'd be glad to, Mike.
Oh, thank you so much.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, 617-779-0985. You can pick up the old application there, wherever you may get your apps, and get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. You can also go to twitch.tv or get the Twitch app and search for 98.5 The Sports Hub. And you, my friends, will be able to watch the program and play along. And talk to Mr. Gemelli and Nick Gemelli and the whole gang. They're all over there on Twitch. So you can go ahead and get that. A wonderful day today as we prepare for Game 7 at 9 o'clock tonight. We prepare for the NFL opening on Sunday, full blown. You had the Kansas City Chiefs last night. We'll get into great detail with that as Brett Breer joins us in the 7 o'clock hour for the 7 o'clock hour. The new Svengali of the MMQB. And I like that Bill Belichick clip because, A, he does the peanut butter and jelly sandwich just to F with the guy. And B, because it plays happy 1980s porn music. When you knew you were watching something like Busty Brain Surgeons or something like that, when they were just throwing caution to the wind and just having a nutty time.
Listening to that kind of makes me think, you know, he did that when he first got in because basically you'll do anything when you're I'm sure that's probably his first year as a head coach. I think that he might have even mentioned that when he was on there. Again, you'll do pretty much anything. And then, of course, there was the integrity years where Bill Belichick wouldn't be seen doing any of that. And now, not only do you see Bill Belichick doing like commercials and being jokey guy, but I don't know if this was... Did Nick Saban do commercials before this past year? Because I saw him on that Affleck commercial last night, and I was like, hang on, Nick Saban, like, did they both just decide together, all right, dude, time to sell out, let's do it. And so, like, two guys that I just didn't imagine this happening. It was almost like, we are now in the Robert De Niro, Rocky, and Bullwinkle years, I think, where they said, all right, guys, let's just, we've held out for so long, let's just start making some cash, which I've got no problem. God knows I'm a guy who likes taking endorsement. But, I mean, it just seemed like now they're, like, jokey and happy, and it's like, oh, I'll do whatever, I'll dress like a clown. I mean, I don't know if this was a decision they made together. It just seemed very strange in the same year that we've got Bill Belichick sitting on the bench like Forrest Gump eating a sandwich, that now Nick Saban seems to be doing the exact same thing.
It's interesting. Like it's interesting, though, Rich, because I know he did a Little Debbie commercial. Don't ask me how I know this, but
Nick Saban?
A devil. Yes, he did a little.
I'm a little devil. Look at me.
And he was in the movie The Blind Side, right?
Yes. And he was actually one of the more natural in The Blind Side. He was better than the other guys. They had the guy from Ole Miss.
Orgeron, who's now the head coach at LSU.
Yeah, unless he's holding like a big stack of money, he ain't good. So he had to come in and act like he was really trying to get the team or get the parents to allow their adopted child or whatever the situation was to play for him.
But he
didn't have a lot of cash.
That's weird. For some reason, The Blind Side was one that always got past me. Supposed to be a great movie.
It is divine.
Which is okay. It's because she's really sassy, and she shows them a thing or two.
They come in, and they take care of business. She doesn't lie down. I mean, she wants to bang Nick Saban. Now, that is very clear in the movie.
Very true. I mean, listen, you know, who didn't? You know, if you just lived anywhere near Alabama, then I'm sure that you were somebody who dreams of that at night.
He was laying pipe to all the three-legged inbreds. He was just like, what do you want from me? He's like, let's go recruit some kids. You know, we have running water. Sold!
So was he good? I mean, he had to act in it?
Go in there and act cute, and she wants to bang him in the movie, and I'm not lying. Like, she's, overwhelmed with his charm and machismo. So he's like, But then the guy from Ole Miss comes in, and he can't get a word out. He sucks. And then someone from Auburn, the coach.
Well, barely can anyway. Yeah. I mean, without choking on his own.
Phil Fulmer was big with Tennessee back then.
Phil Fulmer comes in. Yeah, Phil Fulmer with the national championship with T. Martin, and so they begrudgingly had to name a road after T. Martin because they did one after Peyton Manning.
Right after Peyton left, that's when they won the championship.
And then the next year, they won the national championship, and they had to name a road after T. Martin.
Which that's a great pull, Fred.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, because you never hear T. Martin's name in Tennessee. It's all Peyton Manning.
Now, when it came to coaching acting performances, performances by real coaches, was it better than Tark the Sharks in Honeymoon in Vegas when he was part of the big poker tournament that James Caan ended up winning Nicolas Cage's wife in? Do you remember that? And Tark the Shark?
All I remember Tark the Shark was in Blue Chips. That's all I remember.
He was in Blue Chips as well. God, Blue Chips is a good movie.
He was in Blue Chips. He had one line. He said, I don't think that kid will qualify academically for my school.
He was 38 when he was the national championship coach at UNLV.
All he had to do in Vegas was bite on his towel. That was it.
Yeah.
And then just have big droopy eyes. All this cocaine in the locker room.
Blue Chips was decent. And Shaq was pretty good in it as well. Like he was all right. And then they gave him all those roles, like where he was a genie and he was a robot and stuff, and didn't quite take off the way that I think that he thought it was going to as far as acting. But he's in like every Sandler movie now, too. I think he's actually going to be in this new one that's on Netflix that comes out as well. They became good friends, and he can't say no to Adam Sandler. He's part of that crew now.
Now, as is Dan Patrick and the Danettes, who are very funny. And again, one thing I like to point out that I do to everyone who ever mentions Dan Patrick is that his whole thing with his studio is that it's a man cave. They get a golf simulator and some hoop. And then they have a little wood sign that says popsicles. Because, you know, who doesn't want to hang out and rock some pops? What are you guys doing today? I don't know. You want to hit the cave and, you know, look at some swimsuit issue covers and rock some popsicles? Can do. Let's just do it. It's a man cave after all. Look at the Danettes over there. They're sitting there. They're shooting the breeze. We got a guy that we named after the nerd in the Superbad movie, McLovin. Look at him. He's got glasses, McLovin. They should call him Eagle. Like true brilliant geniuses do. But yes, The Blind Side was, it's a movie, not predictable at all. And I'm sure it was the reality of the situation to a T. It was nothing
it
in that.
Hollywood it up. They didn't,
no, nothing was fabricated.
To make it a little more dramatic.
Yeah, when she showed up at the projects and threatened that gangster with a gun, that was very realistic.
Yes. Well, she was a hero. I mean, the poor kid couldn't do anything for himself. She had to go in there and do everything for him. So, yes, The Blind Side, if you haven't seen it, Rich, which it sounds like you haven't.
No, I haven't.
There's other things to do in your life. I wouldn't worry too much about watching The Blind Side. No. You know, take that hour and a half and, you know, build a nice swing set in the backyard or something. You don't have to be watching The Blind Side.
Watch Dr. Steve Brule for the 15th time. I'll just put that on repeat.
Yeah. I mean, why don't they make it? It's not like they couldn't make it right now. It only requires two people. All right, go ahead.
Real quick, just to that, there's a new show that just got, not greenlit, it's been made, and I think Showtime just bought it. Oh, my God. It's called Moonbase 8. Have you heard about this?
No.
It's Dr. Steve Brule. What's his name? The guy who plays Steve Brule. John C. Reilly. It's John C. Reilly, who I think is one of the funniest humans on the planet. Tim Heidecker, and I forget who the third guy is, but it's about like three guys that want to become astronauts. And apparently, it's so good that there was a bidding war over it, and Showtime ended up getting it. So there you go. You got some actual, real, like new TV shows to look forward to that might end up being pretty good. Moonbase 8 is what they're calling it.
Well, I have Showtime, so and I watch it every day. Thank God I have Showtime. Such a good, and I watch HBO too. I just can't get enough. I don't. I never turn those things on. I have no idea why I have them. Never. I got Showtime for the Mike Judge cartoon show, and it's not even available on demand.
You're not a Billions guy? You're not into Billions? Isn't that a Showtime show?
I love, get me involved. This guy loves sex. No, I watched the first episode of Billions, and I said, I don't like this.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I heard it's supposed to be good. But
give me Bad Education on Netflix, one of them English comedy shows that only lasted four seasons because they know when to get out.
You watch Cobra Kai?
I did. I watched it on YouTube.
Both of them? Both seasons?
I'm told don't even bother with season two.
Really?
Yeah, I've only seen season one. Season one was excellent. I will watch season two, though, because I mean, they've earned it. I mean, because one was so good that I'll watch season
two. If you binge watch season one, though, it becomes apparent why these guys didn't get a lot of work. Because acting gets a little tough to watch. If you binge watch it, it gets a little tough.
Because exactly. Johnny's great. Yes. Like Zapka's amazing.
Zapka falls off a little bit.
Does he? Okay.
He does. Near the end of the first season, he does. I'm one episode into season two. And again, a lot of this, and Rich, I think you can speak to this too, a lot of this is nostalgia. A lot of this is a walk through the past and seeing how they creatively included everything.
But I think the writing is really
good. No, the writing is good.
Like the Johnny character is fantastic. Right.
It's sneaky funny, like when Johnny shows up at Ralph Macchio's house and wants to kick his ass and the wife invites them inside. It's ridiculous. But ultimately, the show is very good. And the one episode into the second season, I don't know if it falls off.
I don't know. But I binge watched bought YouTube or whatever. I don't even know if I still have it to watch the whole first season because I like watched in one run, and it was I don't even know if I finished season one. I don't think I did because at the end I was just like, all right, Zapka, you're not getting anything out.
They ended
this.
In the All Valley Karate Tournament. That was huge.
No, that's shocking.
Yeah,
it's shocking. I can't believe they were able to tie it all in like that.
Yeah.
I don't think they thought season two was a coming. Like, I think that they probably thought, hey, we'll knock this bad boy out.
It's going to be a season three, so you got
to
get ready.
Exactly. And then they go, wait a second, someone's stupid enough to watch this? Hey, well, I watched it. All right, Rich, there was a football last night and so much.
Yes, football was back, and it was weird. We will get to that also. Looking forward at the Celtics, and you had a reason to bitch yesterday, apparently, because of the refs.
All right, we will have all that for you in just a moment.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what happened last evening?
It was a weird but welcome return to the NFL.
Mahomes sprinting to the right side, fires Tyreek Hill. He's got it. Touchdown, Kansas City. The third touchdown pass of the night for Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs convert on third and goal from the two.
Well, the only thing getting more action than the Chiefs' end zone was Andy Reid's visor shield. Constantly fogged up with the heat of Chili Dog's past, a constant reminder that these are not ordinary times and that Andy Reid's breath is as thick as bologna and meatball soup. I'm sure it smelled fantastic underneath that thing. 34-20, the final score. The Chiefs come out looking like champions, and the Texans looked like nobody told them that this wasn't a preseason game. And not only did the Chiefs have big plays by Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, a.k.a. the Sandwich Kid, but
yeah,
they also debuted
Sammy
their...
Watkins, baby. Put him in between two slices of bread and have yourself some sandwiches.
It looked good last night, but they also debuted their new rookie running back who looks like an absolute star.
They zone block it to the right. Cut back left, run. It goes to Edwards-Helaire. 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City! CEH with TD 1! What a night for the rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire!
Yuckaroo! Oh,
he wrote that beforehand.
Damn right he did. He had that one taped up to the window in front of him.
Yep.
He looked good, though. Last pick of this year's first round, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You do not pronounce the H, I've been told, from LSU. He was awesome last night. 25 carries, 138 yards, and a TD. He is the fourth player in the last 30 seasons to rush at least 130 yards and a TD in his NFL debut, and each of the previous three ended up going on to win Rookie of the Year or a rushing title. So, I mean, he's got a bright, bright future with that team. And really, here's Andy Reid talking about the only thing people wanted to hear from Andy Reid about, his awesome face shield after the game.
That was brutal. Yeah, I didn't do very good with that thing. But it'll be better the next time. So I appreciate you asking that, though. It was a bit of a mess, but we'll get it fixed.
I mean, there was a point where you couldn't see his face. Yeah. Like it just got so fogged up.
Yeah, you had a welder's mask on. And
how do you fix that exactly?
I don't know. I don't know why they make him wear them. I mean, it's so dumb. It's not even for safety. It's just to have them wearing masks so they can go, everybody, we're wearing masks.
Those don't work without something covering your mouth.
It doesn't matter. They've all been tested a million times. They're out playing football.
I know, that's the thing. There's no reason to wear the face shield, and you can't fix it. What are you going to drill holes in it? That defeats the purpose.
No,
so what the hell?
I don't even know why they...
Why's she wearing it?
It's like when they do the court interviews during the games. You're like, you know she takes it off right after they're done. They're all tested.
I saw Jerry Thornton say, I found my new Halloween costume. It's fantastic. Well,
don't cheapen the welders. Dan, you are on the phone. Dan, hello.
Oh, my God. The mask thing, it's just for optics. It's so frustrating. Freddie, you shared a room with somebody with COVID, didn't even catch it. I had no problem with limited fans. I don't know what it's going to be like with no fans, but it looked fine to me. Just don't pan the camera to the stands and it's fine.
Go ahead.
Oh, and Wallach, Danny Ainge hates you. You forget stats now. So what are you doing?
Hi, good morning.
Yes.
How are you doing?
There you have it. There you go. First shot of Wallach since I've been back. I didn't think it was weird. I liked the limited fans. They certainly made a lot of noise.
Let's talk about that because that was interesting because they're saying, you know, there were 16,000 people that were there. Were they still pumping in fake crowd
noise?
They
said no. Al Michaels said they weren't. Al Michaels said that they weren't pumping in fake crowd noise. So I
heard him say that. I mean, it sure as hell sounded like at the beginning. And I know that Arrowhead is designed to be one of the loudest in the league, but I mean, if that sounded really loud there yesterday with 16,000 fans, but maybe they didn't pump it in. Is it weird that, I mean, that does seem like teams that are not allowed to have fans don't have the competitive advantage that ones that do have.
I
don't know how the NFL can allow
that. I just think that, I don't know. I just, if I'm a team, I'm like, I want to have fans. What I want to have 16,000 fans.
That's just, what can you do? State to state is different.
I know.
The Patriots go to Seattle. Seattle has one of the best home field advantages in the league because their fans are ridiculous. Patriots are going to go to Seattle. They're going to have no fans.
Yep.
Still have to play Seattle, which is difficult, but still.
If you have
no
a stadium
fans.
That sits 80,000, 70,000 people and you have 15,000 people in the stands, it seems pretty safe to me. It seems like that would be a lot safer than dining inside or something like that.
It's not even the safety thing I'm thinking about. It's the teams have if they're allowed to have fans. Because that was loud last night.
What I'm saying is that they should allow the teams to have fans.
It's not the fans sitting in the seats. It's waiting in line to get in. It's waiting in line at the concessions. It's waiting in line at the bathroom. One guy doesn't wear a mask. That's the danger.
Okay. Well, that's
and
the
it's also the guy in control of the sound button in the stadiums that don't have fans. You know what I mean? It's like, because I know that this is kind of wild. So apparently the NFL used NFL films in order to harvest actual audio from games from each individual stadium. So if you were to go to a Jets game, you're going to have audio that actually has J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets being chanted from an actual game in the past.
And then it will just be mumbling dissatisfaction throughout the rest of the game.
Just the sound of sadness.
Yeah.
The least of the Jets' problems.
Yeah, and then Larry Johnson takes the lateral and runs 80 yards in the first play of the game.
Now, the first 3 minutes are going to be out of sight. Like, that's going to going to sound like a madhouse. And then after that, it's just anger and F-bombs.
Yeah, it's going to be loser fireman Ed pumping up the crowd. And then it's just going to be, then it's going to be the sound of people leaving. It's just going to be footsteps. pump it in.
Three or four buttons that the guy has to worry about during the game, depending upon what quarter you're in.
Yeah, maybe they can get like the 1999 AFC Championship game or something and really do it up. But if you take anything from the last 10 years, there's going to be no crowd noise.
Yeah, that whole thing where, I mean, you know, I think they should either let all, like, fans in everywhere or none anywhere, because it creates a competitive advantage for the teams that have them. And if that was no crowd noise last night, dude, that was loud. Like, that was legitimately loud with 16,000 people at the beginning of that game.
I agree. And I thought it sounded good. I thought it didn't bother me at all.
The product for hockey, basketball, and last night have been way better than I expected. Like, I mean, it's been a pleasant surprise. Baseball still sucks. I mean, they can't get anything right, and it's still awkward to watch. But, I mean, the other three, I thought I was going to be completely pissed off by the crowd noise. I've liked it. Now, every once in a while, the NBA, like, the sound will just drop out. And it's usually when there's, like, a foul or someone's down on the court and they don't want to make it sound like people are cheering someone being injured. And it will just go from, like, 60 to 0. Like, and you'll be like, okay, well, that is kind of awkward and someone should have faded that down slowly instead of the dropout. But no, I've been pleasantly surprised with the televised product.
Yeah, I won't get into a whole COVID thing because everyone's fed up with it, but I don't know what more Massachusetts has to do to allow 10,000 people into a 60,000-seat stadium. I don't really know. Apparently, there's nothing more that could happen.
I will say this state is stricter than most.
Oh, yeah, but it's also, if you go to the Globe and look at the daily coronavirus things, it's really good.
Yeah. Testing's at 1% or so.
Yeah. So I don't really know what more as a populace we could do for them not to, you know, allow limited seating at a Patriots game.
And with it being outdoors, it seems a little safer.
Yes.
I mean, I just think that it just really seems strange that you're going to be able to get some stadiums that have loud fans and some that don't.
I agree.
Just seems unfair.
I agree.
Also, before the game, the Houston Texans decided to stay in the locker room before the national anthem, while the Chiefs stayed on the field with several players kneeling. Now, after the anthem was finished, the Texans took the field, and it was announced that there would be a moment of silence as a sign of unity. So all the players locked arms midfield, and there was an audible booing from the Kansas City crowd.
Sure.
J.J. Watt was asked about this afterwards, and that's what he had to say.
The moment of unity I personally thought was good. I mean, the booing was unfortunate during that moment. I don't fully understand that. There was no flag involved. There was nothing involved with that besides two teams coming together to show unity.
That was a little strange, but you're apparently going to see a lot of this, and even here at Foxborough, because the Miami Dolphins announced yesterday that when they play the Patriots at Gillette on Sunday, they're going to be staying in the locker room and not on the field during the national anthem. And the team released this video with several players, including a couple expatriates like Kyle Van Noy, Ted Karras, explaining why they will just stay inside, they said, for the Star Spangled Banner. And the video ends with Coach Brian Flores saying this.
Before the media starts wondering and guessing, they just answered all your questions. We'll just stay inside.
Yeah, all right. So that's just expect a lot of that at the beginning of the season.
Whole season for Miami.
Yeah, well, they said that they were going to do it the entire season. They're like the only team, I think, that's come out and made a statement about that. And that video is like about 2.5 minutes long stating why they're going to. But it was weird yesterday because, I mean, J.J. Watt's right. It's like, you know, if people are booing you because they think you're disrespecting the flag, that's one thing. But there was not even an anthem going on. They were just standing and locking arms, and they just booed, I guess, Unity?
No,
I'm
they
not
were
quite sure.
Probably booing for something to do. They just wanted to boo something.
That might be the best explanation of all of them. Just like, all right.
I don't think they knew what particularly was going on, and then some people started booing.
Well, they announced it. I mean, there was an announcement. A moment of silence for Unity.
I understand that they announced it, but it's just you're going to boo something. Well, Matt, go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I wanted to ask you guys about that booing. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I think I noticed when I was watching – You heard the boos, but then I think the TV networks, like, I think they tried to mute it. I don't know if you guys noticed that because it just went silent all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden, after it went on silent, they the crowd noise just, like, started up out of nowhere. I just wanted to see if you guys noticed that. But, all right, guys, I'll talk to you.
I did not notice that. I would not be at all surprised if that happened, if they cut the field mics. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
No, I wouldn't either. I definitely heard it when you're watching it. You're like, boy. I mean, it was fairly blatant. And there's people who were at the game who are saying that it didn't happen, and people are, you know, hearing something that, I don't know, maybe there
booed.
Was one certain section. They booed. I mean,
booed.
There's videos from inside the crowd of people filming it, and you could hear them booing.
I don't think the NFL pumped in boos during their big moment of unity. Yeah, I just think that people went there and they wanted to boo something. And that I don't think they thought it through or anything like that. I don't think it was a big political statement, but they probably didn't like what was going on. They thought it was something else, or they thought it was some protest
or something. Worst case scenario, they were booing because they're dicks. Best case scenario, they're booing because the Texans had just come out in the field and it was at Arrowhead. So if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, you can say that that's the reason they were booing, because they had just come out on the field when that happened.
I think it's option A, Rich. I don't think it's option B.
I also agree, but I'm just saying that if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, they did just come out on the field.
Well, listen, there's a bunch of drunks just looking for something to boo. I don't like this.
Where's my damn football?
Yeah, exactly.
I paid all this money. I'm lucky I'm in the building, man.
Yeah,
play football.
I think that's 90% of it. I paid my money. Come on. Stop holding hands like a bunch of girls. Get out there and play.
True.
I mean, whatever. The big moment of unity.
All I want to know is where
they should just go out and play football.
Shield.
They should just go out and play football. If you don't want to be on the field for the national anthem, fine, and then go play football.
Symbolic gesture. What's wrong with that?
Because the whole Miami thing was about not having symbolic gestures to actually do something.
Different teams react different ways.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not like before the reruns of Seinfeld, they get up and do a moment of unity. Maybe just don't do anything. Like, maybe don't feel like you have to do anything. Just go out.
Players want to have a voice. If we've learned anything in the last 2 or 3 months, athletes want to have a voice.
Did the players come up with the moment of unity?
They did. Okay.
Yes, the players did. They said that they wanted to figure out a way that was non-political, that they could show that they support each other here, and that was what they came up with.
Well, there you go. Well, my bad. Then have your moment of unity. It was very moving to me, the moment of unity.
I can see that.
Yes, it wowed me. All right. I don't know why you boo it, but whatever.
That's a different story, yes.
Yeah. Let's go to Brian very quickly. I'm just saying, clock be damned. Daddy's energized. Brian, go ahead. Brian,
hey,
go
guys,
ahead.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
So I just wanted to point out, it's, you know, you guys just said it's not necessarily like it's an apolitical statement or whatever, but we're all getting beat over the head with everything. I think at this point, people are just going to boo anything that's a gesture in any direction. It's because, like, it's just, like, play football is kind of how people feel, I think. I know that's not, like, the cool thing to say, but I think it's anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I said is, and that's what John said is, they probably were thinking, like, just go play.
But you're right. It had nothing to do with the flag, and J.J. Watt was right. So, I mean, why is just being unified political? Like, that shouldn't have been.
You get a bunch of drunks together, and everyone's going to boo everything. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Oh, well, we had a right to complain about the referees in Game 6. We will get to what happened when the league released their two-minute report. Celtics done got screwed.
All right, we'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. Life's tone. Yeah. My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. I sit in silence and find whenever I meditate. My fears are leading.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. By the way, again, we don't have to expand on this, but Gillette's allowing people in the restaurants next to the field.
Yeah. No, the mall there is open. People feel free to go to whatever they want in the mall.
Yeah, to the regulations.
Yeah, the Dunkin' Donuts, about 100 yards from the place, is open. Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole point of being crowded around the bathrooms is moot.
Well, I don't think they're allowing a ton of people in.
But if you have a capacity of 60,000 people and you allow 10,000 people, and that's not any different, really, than the mall.
Well, I didn't say the mall was overly populated. I just said it was
open.
But
how many people? But if you did it, you know, based on ratios or whatever, then it would probably be fairly similar.
I just think that there's people way smarter with way more information than I have. But just from everything I'm hearing, if you're outdoors and you're spaced and you have a mask, you're fairly safe.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's just all the evidence seems to be in that direction. So I don't, once again, I'm not an expert on this. It just seems everything I'm hearing is that it does seem like if there is a way, as John was saying, to safely get people in and out of the place where you're not crammed together, and I don't know if there is a safe way to do that, but if there is, it seems feasible that you would be able to have a certain amount of fans at a football game that's outdoors.
It's just that everyone's been so good here, and we've, collectively lowered the corona, it's very low.
Yeah.
You think there would be at least a reward.
It's just, to me, I can't get over the competitive advantage. And I didn't think it was going to be a big deal with 16,000 people.
But it sounded.
But, man, that sounded loud last night. That was a noticeable difference.
And you know what? Patriots have to deal with that at the end of the month.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And also, just watching on TV, it's nice just to have a little bit of normalcy. But, they opened up arcades.
They're going to next week.
Yeah.
Yep, they are.
If you want to play Galaga, you can do that.
Oh, yeah, baby, you just...
I'll put the quarter up at the top, and that
sweet
way you know
spot
I'm
there.
Next.
Yeah, and what's funny is Galaga's fun for like 10 minutes, and then you go, not even, and then you go...
I love Galaga. Like,
so do
I could get lost in Galaga. Like, that's an all right game.
But I always buy it for whatever system I have, and then I end up playing it and like losing one game and go, that's not that great. All right, what's... there's some obvious official reaction for what happened in Game 6.
Yeah, you guys remember this play from Wednesday?
Walker on the drive, gets to the rim, layup, he missed it.
with 2.2 seconds remaining.
And they're giving Toronto a timeout.
One official looked ready to call the hell ball, and another one the timeout, saying soon as he grabbed it.
Well, yesterday the NBA released its last two-minute report on the Celtics' double overtime loss to the Raptors, and according to the review, Walker, right there, was indeed fouled by OG Anunoby, which should have given the Celtics two shots and a chance to go ahead with 2 seconds remaining. No biggie. Just a series-altering call that everyone except for the guys paid to call the game could see from a mile away. So congratulations to them.
I still wouldn't have called it.
Oh, rewatch it, man. I mean, he got mauled. I mean, he got mauled. He got knocked to the floor.
I told you, and I agree with Fred on this, real time, I didn't think it was egregious. When I had the benefit of replay and a different angle and still shots, I'm like, oh, yeah, he got fouled. But real time, watching it on TV, I wasn't upset. What I was upset about was the stupid last two-minute report last night. The held ball, which shouldn't have been a timeout, and was given, Toronto was given a timeout. Apparently, the officials called that right because they didn't mention the Elton lost him. But what's the benefit of this? What's the benefit of the last 2 minute report?
Well, hopefully, it's because there can be disciplinary action for too many reports that come out with botched calls.
Well, okay,
we know that the NBA
the
doesn't work that way.
Do you get five? Do you get 10? Do you get 3?
John, I admit, I don't know. And maybe it's to make me feel better. Because I saw that yesterday. I was like, all right, well, then there you go. They did get screwed. The NBA also reported, out of the things that were on this report, that the officials missed a travel by Norman Powell in the first overtime.
Okay.
It resulted in free throws for the Raptors. So you had two calls going against the Celtics. I don't even remember that one. I mean, there was so much gratuitous stuff that happened that I don't even remember that. But as far as the Nick Nurse situation, where Jason Tatum appeared to pass the ball directly to Nurse, which we all agree he still shouldn't do. I don't care if Nick Nurse walked onto the court.
Right.
He should not have done that. But he, according to NBA's rules, standing on the court should be a technical on Nick Nurse, which he was. But the league yesterday, however, said that he was allowed to stand where he was. They stated, quote, coaches may be on or off the bench from the substitution box line, which is closest to the coach's bench, to the baseline. Coach Nurse's presence in the corner is not illegal, and he does not directly interfere with the play. Okay, I don't think that they should have called anything there. I think it was kind of ticky-tack. I think stuff like that you let go. But don't sit there and tell me that he wasn't on the court, because that's what they're saying here. I mean, we saw it with our own eyes. I mean, he was on the court. So
you know what it's going to take? You know what it's going to take? It's going to take it's going to take him getting trucked by somebody. It's going to take him standing there
funny.
And some guy running up the sideline and running him over.
Maybe you do that.
No, seriously. I mean,
Sick
I'm not
Poirier
kidding
on
around.
Him or something
whatever,
like that.
Whatever, whatever.
You know?
Have Tice go, oops, sorry, coach. You know, run right over him. Damn it, I'm sorry. Like, for instance, remember there was a playoff series. This Kendrick Perkins was sitting on the sideline. He had his feet out and tripped some guy running by.
Yep.
That wasn't by accident. That was like, mind your lane, get closer to the floor. It's going to take someone knocking Nick Nurse over for him to stop that. And just getting back to the last two-minute report, Rich, honestly, I wound up getting more angry reading that than I was watching the actual game. Because it doesn't matter. All it serves to do is to piss fans off. Oh, we missed that. Sorry, we're not going to change anything. Or, you know, the referees, you honestly think if the Celtics advance, Tony Brothers won't call another one of their games?
What if there's a situation kind of like there? I mean, you've seen this happen all the time, the head games that go on between coaches talking about officiating and, you know, the next game, things lean one way or the other one. Do you think when a report like this comes out that there might be a tendency to be a little looser on a foul call that favors the Celtics, almost as a makeup type of call from one game to the next?
Human nature, I mean, that's why they say that home field advantage matters, is that it's not the crowd noise, it's the way that it sways the officiating. Did you saw that Sports Illustrated, right?
I did, yes. I did. It was interesting.
Yeah, where they went over, you know, some guy who should be out curing cancer instead, you know, went over like every game that ever existed or something. And looked for trends in how that home field works. And it was that slight bit of doubt that it gives officials. So, yeah, Rich, I mean, there's a point to that. If you've been publicly outed as missing a call, yeah, I guess tendency. Or if you saw that happened, I guess there would be a human nature tendency maybe to somehow
to
make
lean,
up for that. Yeah.
Well, just
human nature, yeah.
Well, I don't know what this means, but apparently it's a big deal because Joe Murray was freaking out on Twitter. But Scott Foster and Zach Zarba will be the officials
Wrangle.
For tonight's game.
Wrangle.
Dude, Wrangle all over the place. I'm sniffing. It's a Wrangle attack.
And if you don't know what Wrangle is, it is apparently when the refs are going to fix the game.
Mm-hmm. And to that, the news, that news, Joe tweeted, quote, "This is unbelievable. You can't make this up." And so I actually said, all right, well, let's find out what the big deal is. So I looked up the records of Scott Foster and Zach Zarba because, you know, dude, I put in the work. And Scott Foster apparently is 1-0 in the playoffs for the Celtics. Zach Zarba 2-0 in favor of the Celtics. The other two guys, David Guthrie, he's 2-2 for the Celtics, and Trey Maddox is 1-0 for the Celtics. So I don't know what they're seeing in this, and I don't know why they're freaking out. I know Scott Foster, when I hear his name, I immediately think crappy ref. But, I mean, as far as him leaning one way or the other, it doesn't seem to follow the storyline that maybe Joe Murray is freaking out about.
You got to dive deeper into the sabermetrics.
There's the numbers beyond the numbers, Fred.
That's right. You have to dig deeper. There's a certain kind of formula that you're not privy to.
Sure. But I've said this before, Fred. I mean, even if you want to like look into these conspiracies and the wrangles, I just can't see the league wanting the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals more than the Celtics.
No, there's no way. There's
no way.
You
want American TV money. You want an American team in there.
You want an East Coast team. You want a big city team. Yeah. I mean,
Lakers Celtics is still on the table if they end up going to the Eastern Conference Finals, which is orgasmic if that ends up happening for the league. That would be something, you know, that would be the commissioner's wet dream come true if that ends up happening.
Yes.
So
absolutely. And LeBron James and, you know, Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I mean, it's going to be a piano montage gag, and it's going to be gag inducing. You know, let's go back in the old days. Rah, rah, rah. You can see a whole lot of Bob Ryan on TV, which I don't have a problem with. But they're going to bring back all the people who can't, you know, covered all the big epic matchups between the two. And that's going to be exhausting.
Frank DeFord from the grave going to pop up. the National. Mm-hmm. I could have been somebody. Yes. But there you go. That will be tonight at 9. You can hear that right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub as you go about your Friday evening. You can go ahead and do that. Again, you can watch the Patriot game on Sunday from a bar located in the same complex as the stadium, but you're
don't
not
call it a bar from a restaurant. The bar is not allowed.
Okay. You're at a place that sells alcohol and serves food.
Yes.
You are at a family restaurant. Now that is no longer the CBS scene, or is that still the CBS scene?
It's called CBS Scene. Yeah,
so they still have pictures of Don Knotts laying about.
No, I think that they've
Rich. They've changed it. Yeah, they've changed it.
It's no longer CBS.
It's called the CBS Sporting Club.
Right.
Oh, the Sporting Club. That's right. The Sporting Club, and it's not Don Knotts themed anymore.
Okay, because the CBS Scene was a brilliant plan where it just had old pictures of Andy Griffin, and you went,
"I love Lucy."
You were like, "I wasn't going to come here," but
thank God,
I love their food. Have you guys eaten there? That place actually has really good food.
I've never been there where I wasn't great. Where I wouldn't have blown like a 0.15. At least.
That was the famous post-game show appearance.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that I'm looking back at everything with clear eyes, but that again was. A situation where someone said they were going to give me a ride home and then inform me that, I have to stay for the whole post game.
And then Tang Wei's like, hey, come on.
And this is before Uber was like a whole thing. Right. So, yeah. And good luck getting a cab outside of Gillette. That was a situation where I was stuck. Oh, yeah. They had stopped serving booze quite some time before that. Yeah. I was just stuck. And then Tang was like, hey, you're sitting here. Why don't you come on? All right.
It wasn't as bad as you think it was.
No. That wasn't that bad. Because I was very cognizant that I wasn't going to say a whole lot.
Yeah. It was funny, though, because like Tang Wei doesn't know how to handle even anything. And then that's a little off there.
And Tang was like, well, you obviously wanted to come on. I mean, you were sitting right there. And I'm like, no, I didn't. Like, I was sitting there because one of the people was supposed to give me a ride. Anyway, Bert Brewer is going to join us via the technology of Zoom. We will have him on, and as the NFL opens up, I was impressed with yesterday's product and excited about this weekend. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.